Okay, it's 10 a.m., so we can start with the next talk. Next talk is going to be about Apache Airflow, and we have Jarek Potyuk tell us about the new features in Apache Airflow 2.0. Jarek is a PMC member of the Apache Foundation. He's working on this project, and he's going to tell us all the details, and it's probably going to be a very interesting talk. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the introduction. Hello, everyone. So I'm going to talk about workflows. Who here know about Airflow? Quite a lot of people. Who uses Airflow on a daily basis? A lot of people. A lot of people know. Good. So my talk will be mostly to present you the Airflow, what it does, and how the new Airflow, like the new workflow orchestrator, which is the Airflow 2.8 right now, is providing you as users and someone who wants to write workflows in Python, and that's why we are on the Python track, provides you with a very modern way of interacting with modern data stack, with processing your data for all the different kinds of usages, including the new usages like LLM, all the models, all the artificial intelligence. But first, few words about Airflow. I always refer to my past. I was a choir singer, so I know a lot about music and orchestras and choirs. So Airflow is, if you imagine what Airflow does, because lots of people ask what Airflow does. Airflow doesn't do much, because Airflow is mostly a conductor, an orchestrator, someone who tells others what to do. And as you know, in the modern data processing workflows, mostly you're using a lot of different data processing engines, so to speak. Here, just a few of them. And you need someone who actually, or something, who actually, which actually tells others what to do when and how to pass data between those different processors of different kinds. And Airflow does exactly this. On its own, Airflow doesn't do much. Just tells, okay, you do this, you do that, you do this, and send that data here and there. That's basically what Airflow does. And the main thing that that Airflow does, and this is why we are here on the Python track, Airflow allows you to define DAG, which is directed acyclic graph of tasks executing the data and dependencies between them. It allows you to define it in Python code. So this is this is very different from many different orchestrators where you usually define them in like YAML or in some declarative way of declaring the dependencies and tasks. In Airflow, everything is Python. From the beginning to an end, you do everything in Python, including extending Airflow itself, which I'm going to talk about a bit later. So like just a few examples how it works. Like you can define DAG with a decorator, nice Pythonic way. You can also use it in a classic way, which I will show in a moment. Then you can define a task. And then finally, you can just use the task that you define. And you can, if it works. And then you can link the tasks between themselves and make the dependencies between them. And once you define them, Airflow does everything to schedule the task. As you can see at the top, there is a schedule. The DAG of the task dependencies are executed. So once you define it in Python, Airflow does everything for you and executes the tasks that you defined in nicely in Python in Pythonic way. There are two ways of defining DAGs. There is a classic way where you define operators and you use them. And we have about 3,000 or 4,000 different kinds of operators to talk to all the different kinds of external data processing engines, which can be either databases or cloud services or what, pretty much everything that you can imagine. I will show the list later. It's pretty impressive. Or you can also define the task in a more Pythonic way where you just decorate a Python function as a task and this task it gets executed. That doesn't seem much, and probably you thought, like myself, I was developing different kinds of workflows over all my career, many years, and tools to run the workflows. And you would say, okay, that's pretty much all the work or a lot of work that you do is define these kind of workflows and make them easy to run. And Airflow is one of the most popular orchestrators out there because it does it. I think it hit the spot, the right sweet spot, how this should be defined in the Python, but also nicely executed. I also executed in, and managed. So you can be a Python developer, develop your tasks, and on the other hand, you give immediately someone who operates Airflow a very nice UI and the way how to manage all those workflows you define. So I will show a few things that many people who already use Airflow, and some people here know about Airflow and use it, and they might have even not know that things like that are possible. So those are things which appeared in the few latest versions of Airflow. So like, for example, you have a task group. The task group allows you to group the task together and execute them together and even like rerun them together or make dependency to the whole group until the whole group finishes. So that's a nice new feature or relatively new features that we have and that we are using in Airflow. Airflow also has this very nice feature of being able to dynamically create many instances of the same task. So you can get like kind of MapReduce kind of workflow where you expand the task that to execute, like you can execute hundreds or thousands of them and then get the result of that. So the typical MapReduce case, and it's very useful in a number of cases, but as of recently, you can also expand the task groups very similar way. So you can run groups of tasks in parallel, multiple of them. It's very nice because you can very easily parallelize complex Airflow, because by the way, Airflow is not only like you define the task in one place, but you can distribute the whole execution of those tasks over a fleet of computers, like with Kubernetes, with Celery, with different mechanisms. We will not talk about that. There is no time to go into details. But this allows you to parallelize your task workflow pretty massively and very complex ones. Then you have like dynamic task mapping. So that's how it looks like. So you get the task, you expand an array of values, and then you have multiple tasks running. We have a very nice UI that you can like browse through the list of those tasks. Just wanted to show it for a reference. Very recent feature we have set up in Teardown. So when you have a task that requires complex infrastructure to be set up and torn down at the end, we have the whole mechanism to manage those edge cases that comes there when the task executes and it fails, and all the there are multiple tasks in between setup and teardown. So this is also nicely handled right now in Airflow. A very recent addition in the last version of Airflow, we have integration with FSSpec. I don't know who uses FS. Who knows FSSpec? Who uses FSSpec? Very few people, but you should if you haven't used it, because it allows you to access the object storage from different storage providers. It allows you to access it in the same way as you would access a local file system using patlib, using slash, using pathopen, but also it allows you to integrate with multiple different already existing tools which are using FSSpec, like Pandas, Polars, Parquet, DuckDB, Iceberg, PyArrow. Those are just a few that already support FSSpec, and this means that you can very easily plug in the file that you define from the object storage, like here data frame from Pandas to read that, and it will read it, and it very nicely integrates with the Airflow way how to manage credentials to access that data. So this is a really recent feature that we have added. Now, this is also connected with data-aware scheduling that we have, which means that like Airflow by default in the original version was only task-based, but right now it can also define data sets which are linking the tasks. So one task can produce data set and another can consume the data set. You can define it and you can use it, and those dependencies are automatically taken into account.